This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Steve Brooks. I'm talking to Steve Tregust, Global Industry Director, Finance, HCM and Strategy. Steve, hello.
Hello.
Steve, Richard Boyd recently spoke at Fabtech and he said the key problem of this century is for everybody to figure out the right balance between humans and automation. What should we be doing with human attention and effort and what should we be turning over to machines? And by the way, the answer to that question is changing almost every month and therein lies the challenge. AI is just one element of this, and it's actually possibly several elements because you can subdivide AI into different areas. To deliver automation, how important should it be to company strategy and how should businesses approach the technology?
AI has been going for 40, 50 years, so it's nothing new. What is new is the computing power and the ability to be able to convert information for the AI or the machine learning piece to use. We're seeing multiple different customers and prospects talking about AI in various different ways and actually with different meanings of AI. The first thing to do is understand what they mean when they talk about AI. But then quickly you get into the conversation of what are you trying to do? What do you think AI is going to provide you? What's the problem you're trying to solve? And a lot of people will try and say, well, we want AI to do things faster and give us the answer. What we tend to find is that not enough people have thought hard enough about really the problem they're trying to solve. The first question is, what do you mean by AI? The second question is, what do you want to do with it?
Is it what you do or what you want to achieve? Is it surely more outcome-based?
Well, it should be outcome-based, for sure. A lot of people don't know necessarily what it is, and therefore they don't know what they can do with it. Perhaps there's an element of cyclical working in that. We're working with a customer at the moment in an AI space. We're trying to get them to a point where their financial forecasts on their projects are being more streamlined through an AI space. But of course, the first thing we need to do is gather the data. And very often what we find is that the data isn't really good enough to be able to run through an AI or a machine learning algorithm. We've done it. It's an iterative process. But we're going back now and saying, we've got some insight coming out of the back end of it, but actually me as a financial controller, I can still beat the AI forecaster at this point in time. But then if I add in to the data side, data that it needs and why it needs it, then through an iterative process, gradually it will start to become better than me. And it's that sort of teacher-student relationship you have with AI. I'm a great believer that there's very little I at the moment in AI, and that's because people are the I. They have the intelligence. But if I can build that intelligence into it by telling it what data I think it needs and why it needs it and what the outcomes would be, then it has the computing power ultimately for the slave to become the master.
So how soon can we wean accountants off Excel to do their forecasting?
I think that's a generational thing, to be honest. Accountants love spreadsheets simply because it's so agile. They can do what they want with it, and they don't really have very much by way of boundaries. AI is bounded by the algorithm that you put into it. It's bounded by the data. It doesn't think because it isn't intelligent, and that's why an accountant with a spreadsheet at the moment will beat an AI engine, because it does have the experience and the intelligence that it can convert.
Keeping within that finance arena, you mentioned forecasting, but what are IFS actually doing within the finance arena to apply AI? Because as you said, there's using data, there's augmented intelligence, there's machine learning. And I'm just interested to see what innovations are you coming out with and what the direction you're going in?
In that particular instance, it was to do with project financial forecasting. So we're in that space trying to ascertain the linkage between certain elements of projects, be it geographic, be it size, lots of other categories that we pushed into, and whether or not we can get the machine learning to find linkages within the data that a person might not necessarily find. So that was that particular project that we're working on.
So finding profitability risks, almost.
It's all based around the risk module. As an accountant, you need to manage risk. If you don't manage risk as an accountant, you're just adding up. You're a bean counter. And there's a big difference, certainly in my mind, between somebody that adds stuff up that's already happened and somebody that's providing information for decision makers. This is basically held within the risk module. It should provide you with additional information that you can port into your risk module to tell you that your budget on architectural fees was X, you're forecasting Y, but over the last 150 projects on these types, your algorithm will say it should be Z. And that then starts to port more information into your risk and therefore help mitigate that risk.
Or make more accurate budgeting decisions.
or ultimately be able to provide a better outcome than you as an experienced finance person can do. As I said, we're not there yet. I know I can beat the algorithm, but like everything else, like when you teach your kids something, you pretty much know that it will soon come a point where they will overtake you. And that's the same thing with these classes of AI.
That's one area. Yeah. Another area?
That's one area. There are plenty of applications that we can use this in. We use it in the HR space. We've already got the Arena bot live within the solution, so sort of voice recognition. Those are other areas that we can use. When we start to come into accounts receivables and accounts payables, you're looking at being able to weed out multiples of the same information. Then looking at spend patterns, when you look at expenses, using the machine algorithm to make sure that there's nothing untoward going through on the expenses.
So are you doing fraud detection or kind of initial plan?
There's fault error detection against a contract. Those kind of things are there to an extent at the moment without using AI. But what the machine learning should be able to provide you is a greater analysis of the information that you may or may not have picked up. It's data patterns, really, data recognition, pattern recognition.
Bots was talking about on stage in the keynote this morning. It was talking about being proactive rather than purely reactive. And most HCM bots are reactive to employee requests. I want to have some leave. Are you doing that proactive? And can you explain a bit more about the proactive bot within HCM, or is it not there yet?
Honestly, I don't think we're there yet. And I think the reason for that is because proactive, if you take up analytics, there are various different stages of analysis. The reactive side is telling you what you've done. And then right at the top end, when you're the most mature at analytics, it's telling you what you need to do to formulate an outcome.
Prescriptive analytics.
Very much prescriptive analytic. Being proactive is probably one underneath that prescriptive analytics piece. That's a maturity curve. You need to get to the point, first of all, where you're understanding what you've done. And I think we're there, really, on that level of maturity. But like everything else, as time progresses, as the data becomes better, as the machine learning becomes more self-intuitive, you'll quickly find us moving up that analytical maturity curve.
If you're a company considering, okay, I want to think about AI, I want to think about all these other technologies that IFS has, what should be the first step that they take on this journey? What's the question they need to ask themselves on that?
It's more what you want to get out of it. A conversation is the first step, because we can support various processes throughout a value chain. And it's having the conversation to see where we think the best benefit is going to be. And it may be in an area that we've already done, and it may be an area that we would like to collaborate with. It starts with a conversation, and we can then weed out where we think the biggest bang for the buck is going to be, based on what's available now and what the market is looking at. Whether you're a top of the market or whether you're a follower in the market, that also plays a part in it. But it's conversations with people that know what is in the art of the possible. And then we can weave that into what we think is the biggest benefit for the customer in their specific circumstance.
There's a lot of vendors out there who talk about AI and what it can do for your business. But actually, can you quantify some of the benefits that you've seen in some customers?
Some of the benefits I've seen, certainly within the, if I can talk about the AI bot, is the ability to just be able to interact more with a casual user. So it's ease of use. It's a user interface that means that you don't have to touch things. You can just say, you don't need to know where to go to necessarily find the form that you want. You just ask the machine, I want to fill in this form, and it pops up the form for you. It's ease of access into a system that we're seeing at the moment as a tangible benefit. But as we start to progress forwards, it's really de-risking, as in the case of the financial forecasting. It's a de-risking approach, but it's also providing additional information. And I think that's where we are at the moment, certainly within that case, is it's providing you with additional information based on perhaps a different view, different mindset, in order for you to be able to have a more enriched experience of the information that you have.
I'm going to challenge you here, because you're a finance person, you must love numbers and a return on investment. So there's nothing in what you said. It's kind of woolly. Is there anything in terms of employee satisfaction scores? Have you got a customer who said, actually, we've deployed the bot and our employee satisfaction score's gone up by 10 points? Or we've de-risked our projects to the value of 15 million over the last 2 years?
We don't have that information. And the reason we don't have the information is because it's so new. That even if we'd asked the question now, it would be a meaningless statistic, because it would be based on a brand new piece of software that people are just getting to know, and therefore it's not mature enough to be able to do that. It's certainly something that we would look to do and look to provide in the coming months and years. In the case of the research project that we're doing with one of our customers, it is a research project to this stage. It hasn't gone into production at all. But from the bot perspective, yeah, you can certainly measure customer satisfaction. You could probably measure speed to request to completion, and you can start to put figures around that. Just don't think it's mature yet for those figures to be meaningful, certainly in what we're doing.
Are you using it internally now?
We are using it internally, yes. So we're live up with the Arena bot. Again, it's one of those things that people are getting used to. And you either use it or you use the old system. People are still using the old system because they can, because it's what they're used to. That's another thing, is with anything that's new, any change, people are always almost sort of fall back on what they know until they get used to it more. And as they get used to it more, it gets more enriched.
It's that change management issue. You need the champions within the organisation to promote the new methods of working.
And it takes time, because we're all used to doing things and we like what we're used to.
It takes 5 minutes to learn it and 2 minutes to do it the old way. So I'm going to do it the old way.
Yeah, like with all things that are learning. In time, it will just take over and we'll wonder what we ever did without it.
Other examples within finance, you're not doing anything within close management or bank reconciliations?
Within AR we are, within AP we are, within expenses we are. Bank reconciliation, we haven't started in it yet, but it's certainly an area that we flagged as being possibly on the radar for it. We would always work with a customer to do that. Goes back to one of your original questions, which is, what should people do? We're in the same boat. What should we do? What's the first step we should take in order to get AI more integrated within our system? We're not going to do it just for the sake of it. We're going to do it because there's a benefit in it somewhere along the line. But we will always do that in conjunction with one or more customers. Yes, in a bank rec space, you can quite see that it could be beneficial. Again, what are the benefits? Well, the benefits are you want to speed up the process. But is AI the right technology to do that? Or is that RPA? There are various technologies out there that can perhaps get you to the answer you want. It doesn't have to be AI. For us, it's the same as one of those first steps that you mentioned earlier on. You need to think about what the benefit is that you want to get out of it. Think about whether that's the right technology to get the benefit out, and then work with a benefit in mind to get a solution, to get those outcomes together.
And what really excites you about the future of AI?
Once we're really involved with something like the forecasting project, and once we're starting to see the machine learning algorithm get close to what I can do, then I know that's going to be quite exciting, because what then comes is the time where it beats me. And when it beats me, that's exciting, because A, it means I have to up my game, but it also means that at that point in time, we've probably introduced the I into AI. That is really quite exciting, I think.
Blue sky future, what do you think the potential is?
I don't think AI will take over people. I think AI will augment people. You will always need the people to provide the additional intelligence into AI. AI is an enabler in certain ways. It is a tool, but a tool needs a user. Blue sky, I don't think it's going to be the sort of Terminator Skynet takes over. I think there will always be a human element, because what you can't really teach is the ethics part into AI, the decision making, what happens if the decision making requires data and information outside of what you've programmed it for. It's only going to be looking at that data that you as the master have said is important. But of course, as a human, we get to look at much more information than necessarily we think we look at. It's going to be much more an augmentation against people rather than a takeover.
We're a long way from general AI, aren't we, basically?
I think we're a very long way from that. I think we're as long way away from it now as perhaps we were 10, 20 years ago. It depends on what your definition of AI is. As I said, I still don't think there's an I in it. I think it's more of a process automation, process speeding, and it allows the person, the human person, to babysit a little bit the AI thing, but it should also bring in new skill sets in and around that, like every technology has done in the past. There will then be people that need to code algorithms. There will be people that need to look at data. I mean, data is still the key part to making this work, and data is probably the one area where people are the weakest on. And one of the things that, again, we're going back round the customer with on the project forecasting side is, well, this is great, but if you actually set your projects up in this way, had a standardized set of code parts, had a standardized project set, had standardized processes on how you use it, then what you're going to get out is standardized data that is like for like. then you can start doing more in information and analysis against that standardized data. Then you can start to see the machine learning starting to pick up, and that's when things will start to happen. It's really pushing the questions and pushing people back to the core, which is your data good enough? Is there enough of it for the machine learning algorithm to be able to do something with? And usually the answer is no.
Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you.